53. When Haizu finally collapsed beneath the viceroy, he was still a day's ride from Lugath Jor. Disgusted, he jerked his boots from the stirrups and awkwardly stood to his feet, pulling the long green cloak he had chosen to wear tighter around him. It crinkled with the sound of hoarfrost that lined its interior, a glorious sensation against his new flesh. He stood over the horse's head and nudged it with his boot. Pink, frothy bubbles blew from its nose, and the one eye he could see was rolled back, the cornea shot through with blood. Forcing his knees to bend, a motion he was still relearning as he sought to work the joints where his flesh had been reborn through her beneficence, he crouched over the dying animal and laid both hands on it, commanding it to rise as he had commanded her forces to kill. Black frost spread across its body like ink spilled from a jar. The horse neighed once, twice, and blew dark streams of blood from its nose and mouth. He stood up and waited, watching the eye turn cloudy as the fluid from the animal's mouth changed from red to gray to black. Much faster than even he had recovered, the horse lurched to its hooves, leaving strips of flesh frozen to the ground where it had lain just a moment ago. It turned to him and opened its mouth wide, its sound now rumbling from deep within frost-burnt lungs. Now this, the viceroy thought, was a horse. Warm water trickled down her throat. Inja remembered and opened her mouth to scream. A harsh, rasping sound echoed in her ears.
"Easy now, girl, I don't look that bad."
Inja closed her mouth and opened her eyes. At first, all she could make out was polished metal and locks of red hair in the lamplight. She was still in the stable, but now lay on one of the straw-filled mattresses for the help, a blanket over her body. She shivered and clutched it tight around her. Her vision cleared, and she made out a man wearing a shiny metal helm and cuirass. A cavalry officer. Several others stood around her bed, their expressions a mix of sorrow and revulsion. Most curiously, a white bird sat on the foot of her bed, its bill tucked under one wing. It appeared to be snoring.
"Who are you?"
she asked, each word a challenge.
"Ah, of course, we haven't been properly introduced."
He stood up from beside her bed and doffed his helmet, the long horsehair plume brushing her exposed arm resting on top of the blanket.
"I am the Duke of Rakestraw, Colonel Jal Endrahar, Knight Commander of Her Majesty's Cavalry in Elfkina. And these gentlemen are my staff," he said, motioning with a gauntleted hand at the group, who bowed and nodded toward her. "We received a message that we should pay a visit to the Viceroy at our earliest convenience, and found you lying on the floor, injured."
His voice was deep and rough, but kindness gave it a gentle, soothing quality. And his smile, despite the many scars on his face, outshone the lanterns. Inja brought her hand up to her throat and felt the skin there. It was scarred and freezing to the touch.
"I am Inja, my lord. I work in the stables. I was here when the viceroy came," she said, understanding now why some of the officers turned away. "He took Haizu and left. I knew what would happen, but I couldn't stop him."
At the thought of Haizu, Inja began to sob.
"Oh, now, don't do that, darling. I'm sure they can't have got far. We'll track the bastard down and get Haizu back,"
the Duke said, looking at his officers.
"Haizu is dead. Worse than dead. The Viceroy has changed him, as he has been changed."
"And as I have been changed," she didn't add, bringing her hand up to her throat again. She couldn't stop shivering. The Duke gently took her hand in his and brought it back down to the bed. One of his officers threw a shabrack over her, the lamb's wool thick and heavy.
"I don't understand," he said, still smiling at her.
"Then I will show you," she said, pulling herself up using the Duke's hand.
She pulled the shabrack around her like a shawl. The movement woke the bird, a pelican, she saw, which flapped its wings a couple of times, then hiccuped and tucked its bill back under a wing. Inja took a couple of steps and would have fallen if the Duke hadn't put a hand around her waist.
"Easy now, Inja. I think you should rest," he said, trying to place her back on the bed. "We need to get a fire going to warm you up."
Inja shook her head.
"No. You must see. He will kill many more. It is the table,"
she said, pointing up toward the palace. The Duke stopped trying to sit her back down.
"Maybe you'd better lie down. Tables can't hurt you. Well, not unless they're being thrown at you," he said, trying to make her laugh.
She shook her head.
"No, you are wrong. It is not merely a table. The soul of something dark lies within it. It remembers. It remembers when it was a tree, and it is angry."
"Oh, now, I know a thing or two about the Wolf Folks and the Long Watch and that, bonding they do. But I never heard of an oath bond with a piece of furniture."
"You mock me."
The Duke smiled and ducked his head.
"I apologize, but are you sure you don't mean a crystal ball or maybe a book of spells sitting on the table? I think I know the table you're talking about, carved to look like a dragon. Bit garish, but hardly evil."
"I know of what I speak. It is evil. He uses it up in his room. Can you not feel it?"
At this, the pelican looked up, suddenly interested in its surroundings. The Duke looked at his officers, who shrugged, clearly unable to sense the forces at work around them.
"We've been riding for the better part of 3 weeks. I can't feel much of anything at the moment."
"Then I must show you now."
Without waiting for his reply, she broke free from his arm and stumbled out of the stable. The Duke quickly caught up with her, holding out his arm for her to use for support. She heard the clatter of spurs on the cobblestones as his men followed. Inja led them into the palace and up the many stairs toward the viceroy's bedchamber. The Duke all but carried her the last few flights, her strength ebbing as she got closer to the room. Cold seeped into her bones, a deep, insatiable probing that began to tunnel her vision even as the Duke kicked open the outer door to the room.
"It's freezing in here."
Sabers scraped free of their scabbards as the Duke's men went to the inner door, the wood patinaed with black frost. Shoulders and boots hammered the door, which groaned and then tore from its hinges. A rush of bitterly cold air flooded the room. The Duke gently handed her to another officer while he stepped into the inner chamber. He carefully crossed to the barred window, taking a wide path around the table in the center of the room. He flung open the bars, letting the warm outside air in. The pelican landed on the sill, staring in at the table with great curiosity. A glint of silver and the shadow of something much larger flew past the window, but the pelican seemed undisturbed by it. The Duke turned back to the table, which seemed to shimmer as the air got colder. He stepped closer, leaning over to look at its surface. He suddenly stood up, his saber whistling from its scabbard.
"That sneaky bastard! This thing is like some huge crystal ball!"
He motioned for his men to stay back.
"She's right, it is magic. If I'd known that, I would have dug my spurs into it good."
He looked again.
"What the devil?"
the Duke shouted, his face going white with rage as he gazed at the surface.
"What is it?"
an officer asked, his saber poised. The Duke pointed to the surface of the table.
"That's the Viceroy, and he's heading to Lugath Jor. Damnation! We'll never get there in time."
He looked back at the surface, and his face grew grim.
"Kanawha and his boys are up against it, and there isn't a thing I can do about it."
Inja walked unsteadily into the room and stood opposite the Duke, the table between them. The pelican followed her steps intently.
"It's very cold in here, my lord. If there were any fuel to burn, we could have some heat."
The Duke of Rakestraw lifted his head and looked at her from across the table. He had the most wonderfully dangerous smile she had ever seen.